Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Becoming the Sea is author and poet Emmanuel Sattner's latest poetry collection. It weaves biography, history, identity, and the metaphysical through the fabric of everyday life. Emmanuel was educated in English and Hebrew literature and musicology, and his work is influenced by, among others, Robert Frost and Yehuda Amichai. Emmanuel was born in South Africa, lived in Israel, and now is settled in Sydney. Emmanuel, welcome, and thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks, Charisse. It's great to connect with you again after quite a while. I think the last time we spoke was after Johnny Clegg passed away, and we spoke a little bit about my connection with him. But that's already, I think, a couple of years back now.
And I remember that very well. In fact, many of our listeners may know your name from the outstanding book, Cutting Through the Mountain, that you wrote that highlighted Jewish South Africans who played an important role in South Africa.
Yeah, that's right. That came out in 1997, and Johnny was one of the people interviewed in that book. And I have fond memories of going to his house, and there were sort of Zulu chickens running around in the yard. He had a sort of a homestead in the middle of the city. And and he was quite a poet himself. His lyrics are very up there with some of the best lyric writing anywhere.
So I imagine that, perhaps you can explain to me, writing poetry, in what way is it different from writing music, songs, and prose?
Well, it has an overlap with music because a lot of poetry is metrical, so it has a certain rhythm, but it's different from prose in that it's often the language is more compacted. There's more meaning compressed into fewer words. So if you're writing a novel, you've got theoretically a lot of time and space to get across something. Someone wants to find poetry as language charged with meaning. So often you're trying to use the fewest number of words possible to convey the maximum amount of information or feeling in my case, because a lot of my poetry is about trying to capture a feeling or a particular moment.
Emmanuel, how did you get into writing poetry?
It just sort of happened. I started writing in primary school where we got set little tasks, and poems would just flow out of me, and I got a lot of positive reinforcement from various teachers. I had poems always in the school magazines at the end of the year. So it became my thing. You know how in high school you start being a in terms of the drama person or the English person or the sporty person, and poetry started becoming my thing already then. Just a form that I've gravitated towards to express myself, partly a function of economics as well, to sit down and try and write a novel, besides the fact that it doesn't really interest me to do that, and I don't think I could do that. It's a long form, so you have to commit lots of time and space and probably be economically secure enough to invest a lot of time and energy with no guarantee of a return.
Yeah.
It's like the economics of poetry. So poetry for me, I'm driving and suddenly an idea pops into my head. I pull over, put it down, and that's the poem. I'll read you a little poem about that process, because I often don't have the sense that I'm writing it as much as it's just given to me and I'm a channel and the words somehow are inserted into my head and I put them down on paper. So this poem is called Methodology. Like a gambler licking his lips and feeding coins into a slot machine, hoping at least one of them will hit the jackpot. God, feeds poems into my head, hoping at least one will reveal himself.
Wow, that's incredibly poignant and meaningful. Emmanuel, you're going to read some more of your poetry, but before you read, the fact that you are fluent and educated in English and Hebrew literature, how does that impact? Does it work differently for different languages, or does it not matter? Does something right?
That's an interesting question. Well, it allows me to riff off Hebrew texts, but to do it in English. So there's lots of Hebrew poets who take, for example, Hebrew texts from the sources, from the Talmud or from the Torah, like Yehuda Amichai. He might take a Yom Kippur piyut, a liturgical poem from Yom Kippur, and riff off it and take it in some surprising direction, or he might take a biblical verse. And I attempt to do the same thing, but I'm doing it in English. And I can give you an example which will help make it clearer. So before I read the poem, I'll explain some of the textual references. So this is a poem for my late dog, Ella, who was one of the great loves of my life. And so I wrote a couple of poems about her or to her in the latest collection. And this poem is called Poem for Ella on Shavuot. And it riffs off a couple of things. So one is the verse with Ruth, where Ruth says to Naomi, where you go, I will go, and your people will be my people. So I had that in mind because I was thinking of the way that wherever I went, Ella went with me. If I changed rooms, she'd come and sit at my feet wherever I'd moved to. And of course, we walked thousands of kilometers together, and she'd, you know, just follow me wherever I went, basically. So I kind of had that image of Ruth following Naomi and Ella being a kind of a Ruth-like being. And then connected with the story of Ruth is also the idea that the Mashiach, the Messiah, will be descended from Ruth. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that.
Okay, yes.
So Ruth sort of was the ancestor of the house of David, and according to tradition, the Messiah will come from the house of David. So I had that idea in my head as well. And all of that, you know, connects with Shavuot because we read the book of Ruth on Shavuot. So that's one text that helps to explain the poem. The other text that the poem references is a text from Isaiah, where Yad Vashem gets its name from. So, you know, modern Jerusalem to some extent is built around Yad Vashem, the Holocaust Memorial Center. And it got its name from a verse in Isaiah where God promises that even people who are childless will be remembered, if not by their children, then in some other way. And it says, I will make a place for them in my house and in my walls, a hand and a name, better than sons or daughters. That Yad is hand and Shem is name. So basically it's referring to some sort of monument or something that perpetuates the memory, even of those who are childless and don't have children to perpetuate their memory. Poem for Ella on Shavuot. My dog was like Ruth. Where I went, she went. And my people were her people. And though she was de-sexed by the animal rescue place before we brought her home, perhaps the God of all that I am told is omnipresent and which knows of no obstacle it cannot overcome, will establish for her a Yad Vashem and birth from her loins the redemption.
And that is Emmanuel Suttner. We unfortunately have to leave that interview there. But if anybody would like his books, you are welcome to contact me, charisse@sajabd.org, and I will make sure that you get his books available.